Good evening, everybody, and happy Hanukkah to one and all. Shmuel Plotzker coming at you live from the parking lot of Or Torah, Cincinnati, one of the local chadarim here, one of the local schools. And there's a Hanukkah party here for me and my son. So with God's help, we hope to go in there about 7 o'clock. That's when it starts, and that's really when we should be concluding our class, which is going to start right now. Welcome aboard to Gulf Mountain Synagogue School of Jewish Studies, a very special Hanukkah series of lectures. We're going to read again from the book of First Maccabees. We've already read 3 chapters tonight in honor of the fourth night of Hanukkah. We're lighting up the fourth light because tonight will introduce us to the fourth day of Hanukkah. It's going to be tonight and all day tomorrow. So we're going to read chapter 4 of First Maccabees. Now, this is a great chapter because it's going to really it'll make you really happy. It just will. I don't want to give away too much, but it's a really super-duper happy chapter here in First Maccabees. So without further ado, let me begin reading it. It is chapter 4 in First Maccabees. Remember that Yehuda Maccabee has told the people, have faith, everything's going to be fine, we're going to beat the enemy. He ended off last chapter by saying, arm yourselves and be valiant men, and see that you be in readiness against the morning, that you may fight with these nations that are assembled together against us, to destroy us and our sanctuary. For it is better for us to die in battle than to behold the calamities of our people and our sanctuary. Nevertheless, as the will of God is in heaven, so let him do. Whatever God wants, God will get. We are going to just do whatever we are obligated to do, which is fight for our rights, our people, our law, and our freedom and independence to be able to serve God. Chapter 4. Then took Gorgias 5,000 footmen. He's one of the guys that, either Antiochus or Lysias. Let's go back for a second. Somebody got a hold of Gorgias. Okay, Then Lysias chose Ptolemy, the son of Dorimenes, and Nicanor and Gorgias, mighty men of the king's friends. And he gave them a lot of cavalry and so on, footmen, foot soldiers, and they lost. And so, here we go, chapter 4. Then took Gorgias 5,000 footmen and 1,000 of the best horsemen and removed out of the camp by night, to the end he might rush in upon the camp of the Jews and smite them suddenly. That was the goal. To the end, meaning for the goal of rushing in quickly upon the Jewish camp and hitting them suddenly. And the men of the fortress were his guides. Now when Judah heard thereof, he himself removed, and the valiant men with him, that he might smite the king's army, which was at Amal, while as yet the forces were dispersed from the camp. Okay, so he's got men dispersing. He's got men, I think, pulling away from the Jewish camp. In the mean season, came Gorgias by night into the camp of Judas. And when he found no man there, he sought them in the mountains. For said he, these fellows flee from us. So it was looking pretty good for Gorgias initially. He and his Syrian Greek army fell upon the Jewish camp, and guess what? Wasn't anybody there. Judah had already pulled out. Okay, he found no man there. And so he said, oh, they're running away from us. And so he started to run into the mountains to see he could track down some Jews there. These fellows flee from us, he said. But as soon as it was day, Judah showed himself in the plain with 3,000 men, who nevertheless had neither armor nor swords to their minds. See that they were like unarmed. They didn't have armor and they didn't have swords.
They didn't know how to fight.
Well,
in their minds.
They had already fought a battle or two, no doubt. They had already vanquished the Syrian Greeks, and they were already frustrating Antiochus. So what's pshat over here that they don't have armor and they don't have swords? Maybe they've got a spear, maybe they got a shield. I don't know what they have, but they're not decked out in full armor, and they don't have their submachine guns, and they have, I don't know, maybe some very, very basic stuff. Maybe they've got a shield and a sword, but they don't have any swords, we're told. They have a spear and a shield. Who knows what they have? Very little. And they saw the camp of the heathen, that it was strong and well harnessed. encompassed round about with horsemen. And these were expert of war. Then said Judah to the men that were with him, Fear ye not their multitude, neither be ye afraid of their assault. Remember how our fathers were delivered in the Red Sea when Pharaoh pursued them with an army. Now therefore let us cry unto heaven, if peradventure the Almighty will have mercy upon us, and remember the covenant of our fathers, and destroy this host before our face this day. That so all the heathen may know that there is one who delivereth and saveth Israel. I don't know about you, but I'm swooning over this English. I don't often read King Jamesian. I don't get it. I just don't do it as often as I should. Just pick up a King James Bible and just read the English. It is so, so lofty. You know, I tell you, the great readers and writers of old, they were raised on the King James's Bible. Now, of course, we got the original Torah in the Hebrew. But if you're into English, and I do love the language, this is great reading. Then the strangers lifted up their eyes and saw them coming over against them. Too many pronouns. The heathen saw the Jews coming against them, coming against the heathens. Wherefore they went out of the camp to battle. But they that were with Judah sounded their trumpets. Doo, doo, doo. Right? Battle time. The Jews blow their trumpets. So they joined battle, and the heathen, being discomfited, fled into the plain. The Jews won. Howbeit, all the hindmost of them were slain with the sword. However, all those in the back who were running away for their lives, who were picking up the rear, so to speak, the slow-moving soldiers were slain with the sword. The Jews slew them, for they pursued them. The Jews pursued the Syrian Greeks unto Gazara and unto the plains of Idumea and Azotus and Yamnia. Now Yamnia, that's Yavne. That's famous Yavne. Remember, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai told the Roman procurator, Tainli Yavne v'chachameha, give me Yavne and her scholars. And until the day of his death, he wasn't sure if he had done right. Maybe he could have asked for Jerusalem to be left alone. Maybe he would have granted that. Who knows? I could have asked for more. He always was second-guessing himself until the day of his death. At all events, Yavne equals Yavne. And so they pursued them unto these areas, Gazera, the plains of Idumea, Azotus and Yavne, so that there were slain of them upon a 3,000 men. The Jews whacked 3,000 Syrian Greek heathen soldiers. Pretty nice number. This done, Judas returned again with his host from pursuing them and said to the people, Be not greedy of the spoils, inasmuch as there is a battle before us, meaning, you see all the gold and silver that's available? Don't touch it yet. We still have to fight. When we're done fighting, I'll let you know when that is. When we're done fighting, then we can get our hands on the spoils, on the gold and silver and so on. Till then, let's stay focused on the war. Continuing, verse 18. And Gorgias and his host are here by us in the mountain. To Judah, continuing to speak. Gorgias and his host are here by us in the mountain. But stand ye now against our enemies and overcome them. And after this, ye may boldly take the spoils. As Judas was yet speaking these words, there appeared a part of them looking out of the mountain, who, when they perceived that the Jews had put their host to flight and were burning the tents, for the smoke that was seen declared what was done. People became aware of what was happening when they saw burning fires and smoke. The Jews were burning the tents of the Syrian Greeks. When therefore they perceived these things, they were sore afraid and seeing also the host of Judah in the plain, ready to fight, they fled everyone into the land of strangers. So more pagans came along and got spooked. They saw the tough-looking Jewish army. They saw the fires. They said, there's no way we're going up against these people. Forget it. They didn't even try, and they just turned tail and ran. Then Judah returned to spoil the tents, where they got much gold. It's amazing. I guess that was the host of Gorgias, although it's not 101% clear. Gorgias and his host are here by the mountain. That's what Judah said. And then there appeared a part of them, presumably that host, looking out of the mountain. And when they perceived that the Jews had put their host to flight, okay, and were burning the tents, this is my understanding. They took Gorgias and his men took a look and said, forget this. You know, we lost the tents and we got beaten in the battle. My impression is maybe this is talking about Gorgias and his men that were left over. And they therefore fled everyone into the land of strangers. Okay. Then Judas returned to spoil the tents, where they got much gold and silver and blue silk and purple of the sea and great riches. After this, they went home and sung a song of thanksgiving and praised the Almighty in heaven, because it is good, because his mercy endureth forever. Ki li olam chasto. Kodesh Hashem ki tov, they were saying. Blessed is God, for he is good. Ki li olam chasto, for his goodness is forever. Look at that pasuk 24. They praise the Almighty in heaven because it is good, because his mercy endureth forever. Love it. Thus Israel had a great deliverance that day. Now all the strangers that had escaped came and told Lysias what had happened. These are the pagans. They're reporting back to the king's second in command, Lysias. And they said, we just got whipped. And they told Lysias what had happened, who, when he heard thereof, was confounded and discouraged, because neither such things as he would were done unto Israel, nor such things as the king commanded him were come to pass. Nothing was working out. He wanted to destroy Israel. Didn't happen. He wanted to execute the king's command. Didn't happen. Nothing is happening. He's really frustrated, confounded and discouraged. The next year, therefore, following, Lysias gathered together 70,000 choice men of foot. How much is a score? 20 years, right? Lincoln says 67 years ago. 4 times 20. 80. Plus 7. 87 years before the Gettysburg Address. He was referring to the Revolution. He's just referring to 1776. I'm okay with math. I'm not going to do it right now. The point is, and my understanding is, a score is 20. So he's putting together 70. 3 times 20 is 60,000 choice men of foot and 5,000 horsemen, that he might subdue them, so that he might subdue the Jewish people. Excuse me. So they came into Idumea and pitched their tents at Betsura, and Judah met them with 10,000 men. And when he saw that mighty army, he prayed and he said, blessed art thou, O Savior of Israel, who didst quell the violence of the mighty man by the hand of thy servant David, and gavest the host of strangers into the hands of Jonathan, the son of Saul, and his armor bearer. Shut up this army in the hand of thy people Israel, and let them be confounded in their power and horsemen. Make them to be of no courage, and cause the boldness of their strength to fall away, and let them quake at their destruction. Cast them down with the sword of them that love thee, and that all those that know thy name praise thee with thanksgiving. So they joined battle, And there were slain of the host of Lysias about 5,000 men. Even before them were they slain. Now when Lysias saw his army put to flight, and the manliness of Judah's soldiers, and how they were ready either to live or die valiantly, he went into Antiochia, an area in contemporary Syria. Maybe the city of Antiochus, the city of Antioch, and its suburbs. He went into Antiochia, and he gathered together a company of strangers, and having made his army greater than it was, he purposed to come again into Judah, into Judea. He's coming back for more. He's coming back to fight Judah in the area known as Judea, Kingdom of Judah. Then said Yehuda Maccabee and his brethren, "Behold, our enemies are discomfited. Let us go up to cleanse and dedicate the sanctuary." Upon this all, the host assembled themselves together and went up into Mount Zion. And when they saw the sanctuary desolate and the altar profaned and the gates burned up and shrubs growing in the courts as in a forest or in one of the mountains, yea, and the priest's chambers pulled down, they rent their clothes and made great lamentation and cast ashes upon their heads and fell down flat to the ground upon their faces and blew an alarm with the trumpets and cried toward heaven. Then Judah appointed certain men to fight against those that were in the fortress until he had cleansed the sanctuary. So he chose priests of blameless conversation, such as had pleasure in the law. A beautiful phrase, meaning he chose learned men who would have blameless conversation, meaning it's really a beautiful thought that when they would converse in the Torah. They would, you know, watch their language and how they spoke. They had blameless conversation. They took pleasure in the law. They were the teachers of the Torah. He chose priests of blameless conversation, such as had pleasure in the law. Love it. Next, Pasuk, who cleansed the sanctuary and bare out the defiled stones into an unclean place. They picked them up and tossed them out. They tossed off all the defiled stones out of the sanctuary. And when, as they consulted what to do with the altar of burnt offerings, which was profaned, they thought it best to pull it down, lest it should be a reproach to them, because the heathen had defiled it. Wherefore they pulled it down. They pulled down the mizbeach upon which burnt offerings were offered, because it reminded them too much, or it was profaned by the heathen. So why have that? Instead, get a new one. And laid up the stones in the mountain of the temple in a convenient place until there should come a prophet to show what should be done with them. Then they took whole stones according to the law and built a new altar according to the former, meaning according to the law. Whenever we see the word law, it means the Torah. And made up, we're leaving up the pronoun, they. And they made up the sanctuary and the things that were within the temple and hallowed the courts. They sanctified the courts, the precincts of the Beis HaMikdash. They made also new holy vessels. And into the temple, they brought the candlestick, meaning the menorah, and the altar of burnt offerings. Of course, it was a new one that they were making. And of incense, and the table, meaning, of course, the shulchan. We learned about the shulchan in Masechta Chagiga, at the very end of it. And upon the altar they burned incense, and the lamps that were upon the candlestick, they lighted, that they might give light in the temple. Furthermore, they set the loaves upon the table, the lechem upon them, the showbread. They put the loaves upon the table and spread out the veils and finished all the works which they had begun to make. Now on the 25th day of the month, of the ninth month, which is called the month Kislev, in English they give it Kislev, but we know it as Kislev. In the 148th year, they rose up betimes in the morning and offered sacrifice according to the law upon the new altar of burnt offerings, which they had made. Look at what time and what day the heathen had profaned it. Even in that was it dedicated with songs and citherns and harps and cymbals. Then all the people fell upon their faces, worshiping and praising the God of heaven, who had given them good success. And so they kept the dedication of the altar 8 days and offered burnt offerings with gladness and sacrificed the sacrifice of deliverance and praise. What is missing, by the way, in this story? We know that they cleansed the temple. They had to make new items, new vessels. They did that. They rededicated it. And watch this verse. And so they kept the dedication of the altar 8 days and offered burnt offerings with gladness and sacrificed the sacrifice of deliverance and praise. They decked also the forefront of the temple with crowns of gold and with shields, and the gates and the chambers they renewed and hanged doors upon them. Thus was there very great gladness among the people, for that the reproach of the heathen was put away. What is missing in this contemporaneous account is the finding of the Pachshal Shemen, the little bottle of oil, and the miraculous 8 days that it lit. The author over here doesn't tell us about that. He just says, and so they kept the dedication of the altar 8 days. What is the significance of 8 days? Why 8 days? I think in 2 Maccabees they talk about how they wanted to keep Sukkot, but they couldn't because it was still not yet delivered into their hands. Then came Kislev, and they were able to, ultimately in the 25th day of Kislev, they were able to dedicate the Beis Hamikdash. But 2 months prior, they were still in the in the field, they were fighting and so on. And so according to 2 Maccabees, if I'm not mistaken, I got to look it up, but they wanted to keep Sukkot, they couldn't do that. So when they could keep Sukkot, they did keep Sukkot, the 7-day holiday of Sukkot and 1 day of Shmini Atzeres. There's your 8 days. Got to look that up in 2 Maccabees. In all events, what's missing over here is kind of glaring. You don't see the Pachshal Shemen, the little vial of oil with the Hechsher of Cincinnati Kosher on it, and there's no mention of the miraculous burning of the oil. It's a curiosity. But in all events, we continue with chapter 4, and we're going to conclude. Again, thus was there very great gladness among the people, for that the reproach of the heathen was put away. Moreover, Judah and his brethren, with the whole congregation of Israel, ordained that the days of the dedication of the altar should be kept in their season from year to year by the space of 8 days, from the 25th day of the month Kislev, with mirth and gladness. There's no mention of anything other than he's declaring an 8-day holiday. At that time also they builded up the Mount Zion with high walls and strong towers round about, lest the Gentiles should come and tread it down as they had done before. And they set there a garrison to keep it, and they fortified Betsura to preserve it, that the people might have a defense against Idumea. And there is your conclusion of chapter 4. We're a little bit ahead of ourselves, but only by a little bit. Now we're going to, my son's party is going to start right about now or so. So I hope you'll forgive me. We've concluded chapter 4. Hope you enjoyed it. Want to wish you all the best. Enjoy lighting the fourth light and the fourth night. And tomorrow, enjoy the fourth day in the best of health. Watch out as we're going to slowly move into some challenging weather over the next day or so. Wishing everybody a safe and secure Hanukkah, enjoy it, get bundled up if it gets really cold, and catch us tomorrow night at 6:30 for chapter 5 of First Maccabees. Take care and be well. A very happy, joyous Hanukkah to everybody. All the best. Thanks and have a good night.